Great. So as Stephen said, we're coming to the end of our series this morning on But Now You Are a People. And now you are a people of faithfulness. I don't know if you've read the Lord of the Rings or if you've seen the film, but as we've seen in that clip, you've got that character, Samwise Gamgee, who shows great faithfulness to Frodo Baggins in their quest. I made a promise, he says. I made a promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And I don't mean to. As the story unfolds, there's lots of challenges, lots of sacrifices. But Sam remains doggedly determined to keep his promise. I made a promise never to leave you. And I'm going to be faithful to it. This morning, we're going to be opening our Bibles to Hebrews 10, as Stephen said. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25, if you want to have a look. The book of Hebrews is a letter. It's a letter written to some Jewish Christians who were going through a really tough time, through some persecution. And so the writer to the Hebrews, throughout the book, he's been reminding them of why Jesus is better than anything else or anybody else, and how everything we want or need is in him. And so in this letter, the author is encouraging his readers, keep going. Remain faithful to Jesus. Keep going today. Keep going tomorrow. Keep going to the end, despite the challenges, despite the temptation to give up. Because he is worth it. So let's read that passage together. It's Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's all one long sentence in the original Greek, so I'm glad the English has some full stops in there to give us a breath. Faithfulness is a big topic. We could do a whole sermon series on being a people of faithfulness. We could spend every Sunday between now and Christmas and still barely touch the surface. We could look at honesty, integrity, people who keep our promises, those that others can rely on. We could be those who never let each other down. And over the long haul, we're there for each other. We could look at how we're faithful to God with our time and our giving, how we're faithful in our relationships, how we're faithful in our witness, our work, our families, neighborhoods, sports teams, clubs, our schools. We could look at faithfulness in Christlikeness, faithfulness growing in prayer, faithfulness growing in holiness, faithfulness to God's word, faithfulness to the truth in there. In fact, we could spend every Sunday between now and Christmas just look at God's faithfulness, his character and his works and promises and covenants, and these are all good. They're all aspects of being a people of faithfulness. But today, I want to focus on faithfulness in keeping going with Jesus. Today, tomorrow, to the end. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. And we do that by three things. We do it by remembering God's faithfulness to us. We do it by encouraging one another. And we do it by drawing near in faith. So to start with, we hold unswervingly by remembering God's faithfulness. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. There's no one faithful like our God. He is ultimately the truly faithful one. If there's one attribute that the Bible talks about more than anything else, it's the faithfulness of God. Just if I pick out a few from the many hundreds of verses across the Bible, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And the one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. He is supremely faithful. He's utterly reliable, utterly dependable, utterly unchangeable, utterly trustworthy, unlike maybe balloon demonstrations. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, from before the beginning of time to when Jesus returns. He does not change his mind. He does not fail to do what he says he will do. His word is perfect, and every promise he makes is totally and utterly and completely fulfilled. He's a God who never fails, who always keeps all of his promises. And in part, we're a people of faithfulness because we reflect his image and his character. And that's why faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. But we can hold unswervingly to the hope we profess because he's faithful not only in his character, but to us and the promises that he makes to us. He is unceasingly faithful towards us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never abandons us. He never gives up on us. He never stops listening to us. He never stops working in us. He never fails us. We can see his faithfulness most, can't we, in the person of Jesus and all he's done for us upon the cross. And it's great that we'll be looking more at that in the next series. Most of us here this morning, we could give many testimonies of God's faithfulness in our lives. And you know what? It'd be great after coffee, after the service, to be sharing with each other testimonies of how God has been faithful this week, this month, this year, in our lives together. We can utterly depend upon him, his promises, his goodness, and his mercy and justice. Why would we want to turn our backs on somebody so faithful to us? Why would we choose to put others before him? Why would we listen to those around us? Thank you. Why would we listen to those around us instead of him and his word when he has proven so true and reliable? And yes, sometimes there are days when it's hard to see his faithfulness. When our prayers aren't answered, when he might seem absent, when we might be tempted, like the disciples we saw last week, to say, "Don't you care?" But he does care, and he is there, and he is faithful, though we can't always quite see what he's doing. I'd encourage you to go back to the message Stephen gave us before on being a people of faith, as well as his message last week on a people of peace. He is faithful, and he works all things for the good of those who love him, even when we can't see it. Because God keeps all of his promises. And that includes what's to come. Because we're a people of hope. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, but we look forward to that day. In verse 25, it says, we look forward to that day when Jesus returns and we'll be with him, and we will have the final fulfillment of all God's promises in Jesus. We have this hope by the blood of Jesus, which gives us confidence, verse 19. We have this hope by a new and living way opened to us by Jesus, verse 20. And we have this hope because we have Jesus, our great high priest in the house of God, verse 21. And so we have full assurance of this hope, verse 22, that faith brings. Elsewhere, we see that we have a confidence in this hope because he has put his Spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. His faithfulness assures us of where we're heading. And that makes all the difference to how we keep going today, tomorrow, and until that day. We often admire top athletes like Emma Raducanu or Tom Dean or Tom Daley. But they've gone through a lot of hard work to get there. They've done through training and sacrifices. They knew where they wanted to get to. And so it shaped their daily decisions, where they would get up early, they would go to training, they'd have different food, the social events they couldn't attend. They had to go through hard days when they had to endure things they didn't want to do, and hard days when they didn't get to do other things that they wanted to. But they've done it. They continue to do it because they know what they're aiming for. Your end goal changes what you do today, what's important and what is not, and it keeps you going. If we trust in Jesus, we know where we're headed. We know where we're going because the Bible tells us, Paul writes in Philippians, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. God's faithfulness means we're assured of this hope because he who promised is faithful. We look beyond the here and now to where we're headed, the bigger picture of God's redemptive story to which he has called us. Because of God's faithfulness, because he keeps his promises, because we know where we're going, we can run the race, not just live for today, but live today for eternity. Alistair Begg says, and if Christ is everything, then we can declare, my life is not ultimate. I don't need to protect it as the most precious thing I have. I want to spend it for the most precious person I know. Faithfulness is dying to self on a day-to-day basis. Dying to my wants and needs, and my preferences, dying to the acceptance and praise from others around me. Dying to my own dreams and ambitions. Instead, putting Jesus first. It means we keep going even when it's hard because he who has called us is faithful and we know where we're going. Glenna Marshall writes very helpfully, I think, faithfulness is an everyday calling. It's regular. It's ordinary. It's taking the long view of Christian life. It's reshaping our desires for immediate fruit and committing to following Jesus for the long haul. It's getting up every single day and believing that God is your treasure, that the gospel of Jesus is worth your every breath, and that he is enough. Faithfulness is doing this again tomorrow, and the next day, and 10 years from now. Faithfulness is ordinary. It's unremarkable. It plods. It's also precious. Precious in the sight of God, who works out a lifelong sanctifying perseverance in your life for your good and for his glory. For your good. His glory, precious in the sight of a faithful God who keeps all his promises and that who keeps us faithful to the end, and that shapes our faithfulness today, it shapes our faithfulness tomorrow, because God is faithful. We're a people of faithfulness who remember God's faithfulness to us. Who can tell me, hopefully we've got the next slide coming up, who can tell me what this is? An Oscar, great, thank you. An Academy Award also is the full name for it. They're awarded for great achievements in the film industry. A month today, there's going to be lots of people accepting these. And what do? Well, they'll thank everybody, from their parents to their friends, their mentors, their pet gerbil, Sammy, when they were age 5. Those who've helped them, equipped them, spurred them on, because they couldn't have become award-winning actors without that help, except possibly the pet gerbil. We need each other. We read earlier, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We're a people of faithfulness who encourage one another. I can't do it without you. I need you, and you need me. Our series that we've been working through, that we're coming to an end now, comes from a section in 1 Peter, which says, but you are a chosen people. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Not now you're a person of God, but a people of God, plural. Our faithful God, he's given us the church. He's given us each other to help us to be faithful. We can spur each other on, encourage each other, literally give courage and exhort each other to remind each other of God's faithfulness, to remind each other of where we're headed, to remind each other that we're a people of hope, we're a people of joy, a people of faith, a people of love, a people of faith and peace. To remind, encourage, spur each other on to be a people of faithfulness. And I can only do that for you, and you can only do that for me, when we know each other, when we're honest with each other about where we struggle, when I tell you where I need you to keep me accountable, when I tell you what's really going on in my heart, where God's working, when you have permission to speak into my life, to tell me where I'm not being faithful, and to bring the challenge of God's work to my sinful heart. Unless we're going deeper into each other's lives, sharing the messiness of what's going on behind the facade, I won't know what you need reminding of, and you won't know what I need reminding of. I won't know where you need reminding of God's character. I won't be able to help you to hold fast and keep going, because I won't really know you. And that's why our community groups are so important, because we need each other in real life, in real discipleship, committed to one another, growing in faith together, growing in holiness together, building God's kingdom together. Let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. The author and Bible teacher, Jerry Bridges, recalled one Sunday morning after a service. He wrote, one day, I decided to see what would happen if I asked questions about a man's spiritual growth. So I said to him, what's God been teaching you lately? And he looked at me with a shocked expression. No one's asked me that question before. That shouldn't be a shock. Friends, let's make our conversations deeper. Let's commit to one another. Let's help each other in our walk with the Lord. And I know that's not always going to be easy. In fact, it'll often be hard. Because this morning, we are in a building full of sinners, and I'm one of them. We're imperfect people who mess up, who let each other down, who hurt each other, often unintentionally, but sometimes with some really harsh words. We're different. We have our own preferences and ways of doing things. We have different backgrounds. We express ourselves differently. You know, church is messy. And things may not be done in a way I like, and they may not be done in the way I think is best, and I'll be offended and hurt. And as we continue to grow, you know, we're going to have some difficult choices to make. Nobody ever said church would be comfortable or easy. In fact, quite the opposite. I'll have to forgive often, show much grace, persevere, put others first, show the agape love that Gary spoke of a couple of weeks ago, But you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Because together, as God's people, as a people of faithfulness, God will use us to strengthen, build up, and encourage one another. He'll use us together to reach out to this town. He'll use us together to reach out to this county, to this country, to this world, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is worth persevering for. So let us be faithful to one another, because we love one another, spurring each other on to love one another, those in this church and those outside, and all the more as you see that day approaching. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We're a people of faithfulness, encouraging one another. This all sounds great, but if you're anything like me, and you really want to be a man or woman of hope, of joy, of faith, of love or peace, of faithfulness, but you also know just how far you fall short. It sounds great, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And no, you can't. Not on your own. That's why he gave us the church. He gave us each other. But he also gave us himself. We can't do it, but he can. Verse 19, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus, by a living way open for us. We have a great high priest in the house of God. So, as we read in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Let us draw near. We have the enormous privilege through Jesus, who died for us, who now acts as our intermediary in heaven, to come directly to God and spend time with him. We must spend time with each other, but we must also spend time with the Lord. And all we need to be faithful, we'll find in him. Draw near to him daily in his word. Spend time each day reading our Bibles, hearing what he has to say through it. And that will help you replace those default thoughts that Stephen spoke about last week, to be a people of peace. Spend time in prayer, bringing our lives before him, asking him to help you understand his word and your heart, so that he would align our hearts and our minds to his. Friends, let us draw near that we may learn of his faithfulness. Let us draw near that we may lean on his faithfulness. Let us draw near that we may be, that we may learn assurance of his faithfulness. Let us draw near that we may be transformed to reflect his faithfulness. Let us draw near that we may be equipped to encourage and spur one another on in faithfulness. And the 40 days, 15-minute Lent devotionals that we're doing together, they'll be a really great way to do that. Because we're going to have that opportunity to draw near to God in his word and hear from him through them. We'll have the opportunity to reflect on what God is saying in our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to make us more like him. As we do it together, we'll have the opportunity to share with each other what all that God is teaching us and doing through these in our lives, so that we can be equipping and encouraging and spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. And I know sometimes it can be hard to draw near. Your life may be busy, energy low. The days can be hard. I know, because I've been there. But let me encourage you. Find time in those hard days to spend time with him, to draw near, spend time in his word, because there you will find strength. Sometimes we don't come because we don't feel adequate. And we say we'll pick up our Bibles again when our minds are in a better place to meet with Jesus. But then we fail to receive God's grace in our weakness. Glenna Marshall puts it better than I can. He doesn't say, come to me later when you're not weary. He tells the weary to come to him. Take up his yoke, learn from him, and find rest. And when we fail, when we mess up, well, there too we'll find his faithfulness. Because we come not because we're ultimately faithful, but by the blood of Jesus, and he is ultimately faithful. Because of the great Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. Sorry, I've lost my place. Because of the Lord's great love for us, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So that brings us to the end of our series, but now you are. You are a people of hope. We are a people of hope, a people of joy, a people of faith, a people of love, a people of peace, a people of faithfulness. We are, because he is. He is all those things, and we reflect his image. But as Stephen reminded us last week with the name badge and the new identity, we are, but we're still learning to be. We are a people of faithfulness, but we're learning to be a people of faithfulness. The Spirit works ongoing in our lives as we draw near to him. We encourage and spur each other on as we grow in faithfulness together. And we keep our eyes fixed on the goal because we know where we're heading. Because he who promised is faithful. Paul writes to the Philippians, not that I have already obtained all this, or that I've already arrived at the goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you, the church here in Market Harbour, you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Brothers and sisters, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful.